1039 LI News Radio. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and listen live 24/7 at linewsradio.com.
Now time for the crime report, sponsored by the Suffolk Crime Stoppers. 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477 for all calls kept confidential, and a monetary reward issued of up to $5,000, leading to the arrest in some cases. Joe Jacklin, of course, retired NYPD sergeant, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad, current adjunct professor at John Jay College. He's an author of a bestseller. It's called The Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide for New Investigators, third edition. And Joe, a highly decorated member of the NYPD, by the way, including the Department Medal of Valor. Joseph, how are you, sir?
Jay, how are you?
I am doing well. You know, it's interesting, in our traffic report, Joe, before you came on, I commented that there was another driver hit a utility pole. It's got to be like the sixth or seventh one this week alone. It seems like every day we have out-of-control drivers. Now, today we have, obviously, inclement weather out there, but even on a good day, we can't get it right. And it just brings to mind, you know, this whole thing of the legalization of marijuana and everything else. And, you know, again, not to sound prudish, but we have enough of a problem with just bad drivers and drivers who are impaired with drugs and everything else and alcohol. We know that ongoing. And now we'll have cannabis coming into the equation. You know, I can't figure it out, you know.
I think we figured it out last week when we talked about it. I said, you know, it's all about money, and I got a little bit of, bad feedback because I said that. But then 2 days ago, the governor came out with his, oh, we're going to have $300 million of tax revenue because of it. So there you go. It's all about money. Police departments, like I said, are struggling with, handling the DWI thing. If you get the reports, I get the reports every day where they say, there's been 10 DWI arrests. There's, you know, listen, Friday night, Saturday night, there's usually 10 to 20 DWI arrests around Nassau and Suffolk County. So if people think that, you know, people aren't drinking and driving just because you're not reading about it or you're not seeing it in the newspapers, there's plenty of it going on. And the aggressive driving, too. You know, I mean, that's something else to be thinking about, too. But you know what? I'm not a big fan of this. I know people are saying, well, come on, it's about time we legalize things, whatever. But you know what? People want it legalized, that's fine. You want to use it, that's fine. Whatever you want to do is your business, your body, your life. You can do what you want. But when it affects other people, that's when people fail to start thinking about that. And we need to start thinking about that. Like I said, I'm not a big fan. We'll see what happens, but I just don't like the fact that, you know, who's going to decide now who can use it? Do you want your doctor smoking, marijuana right before he goes in for his, do your surgery for it? And the people say, oh, no. Yeah, the people who want marijuana, they want to pick and choose, right? Who's going to be smoking? How about your bus driver? How about all these other people that you deal with on a daily basis? So legalization comes with a whole other host of problems.
And Joe, I don't know how they're going to expunge all these convictions. You know, that's another avenue of this whole thing from a legal sense. You know, it's going to be a cluster you-know-what as far as the system is concerned, trying to expunge all this stuff.
It is what it is. How about just going forward? you're not arresting people for it. That's the way to go. I mean, you're talking about millions and millions and millions of cases going back decades. Just because you legalize it today doesn't mean it wasn't legal, yesterday. So it is what it is.
Yeah, and you're right. It's a money grab, the $300 million. Hey, listen, you know something? When you're running a state and you have a $4 billion deficit, you got to do everything you can, I guess. You know, just what's happening as well here in Suffolk County, the fees on top of the fees on top of those other fees. But even this congestion pricing is a scam too. You know, it's just nonsense. What, $11 for a car, $25 for a truck? You know, there's other ways. There's other ways to figure it out. You know, I said earlier in the week, delivery trucks, trash trucks, have them at certain hours. You know, even the bike lane. You ever notice the bike lanes, Joe? The bike lanes are getting out of hand now. I mean, the bike lanes are everywhere, and nobody adheres to the traffic rules when you're on a bicycle. They'll run over a pedestrian before anything else. You know, I feel bad for the elderly, you know, and maybe not as sharp and nimble and quick, you know, to get out of the way of a bike in the city. I mean, my goodness, there's a lot of problems, but I'll tell you, congestion pricing is not the answer. So we'll see what goes down. Well, let's go to the big story this week, Joe. No question, it happened in South Hempstead, and at least police have recovered the SUV that was used to run over and kill this gas station manager over there. And now I've identified this suspect as Joshua Roston, he being from Baldwin, a 33-year-old. I guess an APB out, and they've said he's armed and dangerous. Be careful here. What do we know here? Anything the latest?
No, nothing else. Wanted. I saw it come over the wire actually yesterday. They sent out the picture, but they're encouraging people if they know who he is, go on to the Crime Stoppers website and take a look at it. And if you know who he is, so let police know. You can get your reward money. The issue that comes down to is even though we say crime is down, right? These are the kind of things that pop up on the radar. And these are the things that have been happening lately. I mean, these are the kind of stories you never really used to hear. But here we are. And, you know, even though it's considered pretty safe, according to the statistics, I think people's perception, Jay, is, more like this kind of stuff. And people just, I think they question. I talked to a number of people who are questioning, the statistics in regards to, how they feel about crime. And like I said, the perception is something that police departments have to fight more so than the crime stat number. You could tell people crime's down. You could tell people you're safe. But then they read in the newspaper about cases like this, and they turn around and go, I don't feel any safe.
Yeah, that's what it is. And this over $22 worth of gas. This guy, Roston, by the way, was also arrested last year, Joe, in April, for allegedly stealing $30 worth of gas from a station. I think that was in Roosevelt. You know what? We're 22 bucks. This guy has ruined a life for the family. It's just unbelievable. And contact the Crime Stoppers in Nassau. 244-TIPS, 1-800-244-8477. As far as the award, I know the owner of this station, the Pit Stop, I think it's called, they're offering $5,000 for information that'll lead to the apprehension of Roston. And that matches, by the way, the $5,000 offered by the Crime Stoppers there. So you got a $10,000 clip here. Somebody has to know something about this Joshua Roston out of Baldwin and make a phone call. Good way to get $10,000 and get this guy off the streets because he's obviously dangerous and he's armed most likely. And this guy needs to be getting absolutely put in custody right now.
Well, the police did a pretty good job about, identifying him. The video surveillance was kind of blurry, right? We can get these great pictures from Mars, but we get these surveillance videos from the banks and the gas stations that you can barely see what's going on. It's just the Nassau police did a great job getting this information, gathering what they had from the video surveillance. They probably had the entire thing on video because we know the gas stations are highly surveilled because they are targets. And, getting this information out there pretty quickly. And so we'll see what happens. Hopefully the public will be able to help them out.
No doubt. Big case, and it's of national proportions, too. Made the national news. So you have everybody looking for this guy. Joe Jacqueline, the crime report here. Another incident of a teacher inappropriately with contact with some students. That's a Hempstead teacher. Joe, how many stories of this nature do we hear about? It happens all the time. It happens across the country. It happens here on Long Island right now.
Yes. It's kind of scary, right? If you have a child in school and you're dealing with this kind of stuff, I mean, you got to talk to your parents, you got to talk to your kids about what's going on. And it's just, it's mind boggling, right? I mean, you would think that, I don't know what kind of testing that the teachers go through in order to teach at the elementary level, but this is happening way too much, too far, too many times, too often. They got to start instituting some other testing for teachers. I mean, we do all kinds of stuff for the police department and fire department, psychological, this and that. Maybe we need to start doing that for teachers, too.
No question. Way too often, of course, this matter has now been referred to the district attorney's office and is under intense investigation. So we shall see. By the way, one note regarding the whole marijuana deal. North Hempstead banning recreational pot. You like that? First town to do so. So they have taken a major step there. And hopefully others will adhere. Let's talk about a pretty good bunch of arrests. Six men in all, I think it was. Queens, Brooklyn operation, heroin, cocaine, Joe. But at least with a pretty good investigation here, authorities on the scene, six guys arrested here during the week.
Yeah, I mean, these busts, right? We talk about this every week. There's usually a big bust every week, and it's great news that the police are on top of this and they're doing this stuff. But you know what, Jay? It just seems to be, you know, one guy gets arrested and the next guy's taking its place. And it's just on and on. This heroin problem goes on and on. You know, in the midst of all of Cuomo's talk about the legalization stuff, I'm still waiting to hear what he's been doing about the heroin epidemic. It's not happening. The drug is still out there to be easily had. And the president also made promises about trying to do stuff with this carfentanil and everything like that. It's just not happening. We need to get something done at our political level with this heroin thing. It is affecting. We have more people dying of drug overdoses in this country than car accidents and murders like combined. We're pretty close to it. But here, let's legalize marijuana. Let's add another drug to the list. People aren't thinking. You know, if you want to, people who you want to use marijuana are using it anyway, Jay. It's not like this, the law has been preventing them. I kind of scratch my head. I wish I was able to talk to the governor, because I would ask, what have you done about this? Maybe Nassau and Suffolk County, we know, has been affected by this heroin greatly. And the police have been doing good jobs with making these huge arrests. And, yeah, New York City plays a big role in this because generally all the drugs probably roll through New York City into Long Island. You know, so they're trying to, but they're only, you know, listen, they're only as good as their last arrest, right? So they make a big arrest and another guy drives right by them while they're doing a whole trunkload of heroin in. They need to do a better job. The politicians need to step up and do something.
No question. No question about it. That would be the first question I ask the governor is if he ever does come on this show. Or I might run into him at Rumba's in Hampton Bays, his favorite restaurant, like I did a couple of years ago. And I would ask him that. You know, I mean, we lead the state, Suffolk does, as far as overdoses are concerned. Deaths. I don't get the mindset either. Crazy. Joe Jacklin on the crime report. Do we know anything more regarding the Eastport, South Manor schools? I know there was some suspicious graffiti. I haven't heard anything come about from earlier in the week, Joe. Anything more that you might have heard here?
No, you see something with the schools, and you automatically think that the kids are doing stuff. Sometimes they do things and they don't understand the consequences of what they write on the walls, or they do things with the graffiti and the meanings and the symbols behind certain things and with the sayings and the words graffiti, you kind of think it's a juvenile crime. So, like, once again, there's surveillance video in the schools. It's everywhere. So I think that law enforcement has been very quiet about what's going on because I think they have a good idea maybe of who's involved in this, and they want to be able to pick these kids, pick them up at the right time. They don't want them, running and doing anything else. So we'll see what happens. I think we'll hear about an arrest on this case because of the fact that schools have so much surveillance cameras, especially in light of all the violence that's happened in schools. And these kids don't understand that.
That is true. And they need to do a better job as far as surveillance and everything else. So we'll see what happens. I know there was an incident regarding a Hempstead guy and a stroller and a possible kidnap attempt. Brings to mind what happened in Valley Stream where some guy went over to a little kid in a stroller, I guess tried to take the kid, or some kid not in a stroller, tried to take the kid by hand.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for a family member there. I mean, a couple of crazy stories. It's ironic. They're not going after the Valley Stream incident. I meant to ask you that last week, why they wouldn't at least attempt to look into some circumstances there. But little bit more apparent as far as what happened with this kid in the stroller, Joe.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is, it was kind of a thing where, you know, it was a good lesson for family members and you know, parents. He tried to take this, you know, at the mall, he tried to take this young boy by his hand and, you know, lead him off, lead him away. You have to keep an eye on your kids, right? This is what the problem when you say, oh, you know, crime's down, everybody's safe, everything. People sometimes let their guards down. I mean, listen, Jay, when you and I were kids, I mean, our parents would leave us out in the front of the house in a stroller, right? Not even think twice about it. But, you know, today you wouldn't do something like that. And you have to be mindful that there are people out there, where they're predators, wherever they are. I mean, if I'm investigating a case like this with the stroller, and so, you know, I'm searching all like the sexual offender databases, I'm doing all that stuff and trying to find people who live within the area, start talking to them, parolees, or everything. I mean, these are cases where this gives parents fright, and it should. But, you know, we have to do a better job as parents. You got to do a better job of, you know, keeping an eye on your kids. Things can happen in a moment, and anybody who has kids know that, all right? You could turn your back once, everything's fine. Next thing you know, boom, you know. So it's, yeah, the incident in the mall really kind of, you know, should set people up. But it was a very small article. I mean, you barely saw it. I mean, I saw it, and I sent it right to you. But it wasn't really much talk about it, and unfortunately, because I know why, because I don't want people to think that you can't go to the malls and bring your kids. But the issue that comes down to is that, you know, these predators are still out there.
They're out there. You got to be vigilant, no question. A couple of minutes remain. Joe Jack on the crime report. Joe, is it clear cut regarding this whole Evelyn Rodriguez situation, the woman who was run over by this, I think, Maria Drago? It seems like, you know, I know that defense attorneys are chiming in about different things. And, you know, it just seems like there's going to be a couple of pitfalls regarding this. Evelyn Rodriguez, of course, mother, Kayla Cuevas, remember the two girls, Kayla and Nisa Mickens, killed a couple of years ago by MS-13 gang members, slaughtered, actually. But obviously Evelyn tried to, I guess, hold a vigil of some sort, and the woman ran her over. What do we know? Is this going to be clear sailing at this trial? What do we see here?
Well, I don't think so, because even think about when the incident first happened, everybody was like, oh, everything was just an accident, everything's okay, right? And then, you know, several weeks later, they make an arrest. You know, this was one of those things kind of out of left field. You and I talked about this. We thought it was, you know, very odd that you had this this woman who has been a big outspoken member against MS-13, all of a sudden she's run over. I mean, you would think that, oh, my God, right, maybe the gang was involved in this and that, but it should have been, you know, red flags all over that thing. You know, all over an argument, right, all over that, you know, she, I think the story, the backstory is that she's trying to sell her house, and because of the, you know, the mural that was put up and the, and the remembrances, you know, people, you know, she didn't want that stuff up there when people come to see the house. That's basically the backstory about why this, you know, this killing happened. I don't get it, you know, so we'll see what happens. It's going to be a tough case because I think that the, you know, the investigation follows so slowly behind that, you know, I think that the defense attorney is going to question that and say, you know, the police really didn't think that she was pretty good. They made a statement that, you know, the driver stayed at the scene and there wasn't anything, you know, no criminality afoot. And then all of a sudden, you know, weeks later, there's an arrest. So, well, you know, we'll see what happens. We've seen some stranger things happen in our court system lately in cases that we thought were a slam dunk, right? The Katrina Vitrano case, that's we thought that was a slam dunk too. And here we are.
No question. And, you know, speaking of slam dunks, you know, you have the El Chapo stuff going on. And that just looks like a bottomless, you know, pit of just ongoing minutiae. Fascinating, but I guess, you know, the I's dotted and T's crossed to make sure that that Guzman is put away forever. You know, I mean, basically, you know, we've seen pitfalls before in these types of trials, and I think they're being very careful here with El Chapo, you know?
Well, they are. They're working methodically. They're going through with a lot of things. Like you said, they're going through so much stuff. I think there's, like, you know, the old saying, you throw enough stuff against the wall, something's going to stick. And I think that's basically where they're going. I mean, they're coming out with stuff like, you know, dating back 20 years now. I mean, you know, listen, prosecutors, the federal prosecutors that are in this thing, they have this guy. They don't want to lose him. And we'll see what happens. I mean, listen, at the federal trials, there's a much easier chance that this guy is going to get convicted. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully that, you know, the prosecutors have done their job and the jury is, everybody is convinced that this guy is guilty. And just from listening to and reading about some of the information, I guess it's hard not to, but it's easy to make a statement like that when you're not in the courtroom every day listening to every word. I mean, we're just catching little snippets and sound bites. So we'll see what happens.
I've been speaking of courtrooms. You got a couple of doozies here on the island. You got the Mangano retrial coming up, opening statements next week. And then, of course, we get ready for the cherry on top of the cake one, the Tom Spoda / Chris McPartland deal.
And
I tell you, you got a couple of biggies coming up. Should be very interesting. Joseph, always a pleasure. Stay safe. By the way, I did want to say, you know, about how John Wetland, a terrible story. Baseball fans, Yankee fans, Joe, remember John Wetland, of course, MVP of a World Series in, what, 96? And passed the baton to the great Mariano, and how far the mighty have fallen, huh? A guy who, inappropriate behavior with a 14-year-old and just a plethora of problems over the years. The man needs help, big-time help, and just kind of sad to see somebody of that ilk in the news in that type of story, you know?
Yeah, no, and unfortunately, though, I mean, anytime you're dealing with those kind of crimes, it kind of, you know, you raise your eyebrow, and it doesn't matter if he's a baseball player or he's an actor, I mean, you got to treat everybody the same at this point, so we'll see what happens.
No question. Joe, we'll speak next week, sir.
You got it. Take care, Jay.